الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما. نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين، وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، والخلص من أصحابه المنتجبين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم ندعو كل أناس بإمامهم، فمن أوتي كتابه بيمينه فأولئك يقرؤون كتابهم ولا يظلمون فتيلا. ومن كان في هذه أعمى فهو في الآخرة أعمى وأضل سبيلا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. On the day of judgment, we call upon the nations and upon the groups and people by the name of their imams. Here in this life and dunya, they call you by your name or your group number. When you board an airplane, there is a group one, group two, group three, group four. So people line up behind their group number to board the airplane. How do we board the Akhirah? How do we stand before God? There are no more numbers. There they call us by the name of our imams. Who do you follow in this life? يَوْمَ نَدْعُو. On a such a day, Allah says. This is in chapter 17, Surah Al-Isra. يَوْمَ نَدْعُو كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ. Every group, every nation are called by the name of their leaders. كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. Who do you follow here? Who do you love? Who do you consider to be your leader and your imam? You stand behind him. He will be leading you on that day. So you have to choose here. If you want to be group 1, group 2, group 3, group 50, you have to choose it here and decide here. Which imam you want to stand behind? Which khalifa you want to stand behind? Some people say, we want to stand behind Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will stand behind him, definitely. And with Muhammad, again, are going to stand behind him. The first people who stand behind him, his daughter Fatima alayhi salam, his brother Ali ibn Abi Talib, his children, his family. And others, they'd like to stand, you know, behind others. We don't mention names. We have many names, many leaders. So God says you're going to stand behind them and line up behind them, because you're going to go in their direction, same direction. One of the imams that we are proud to follow and to learn from is our 11th imam, Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Askari alayhi salatu wassalam. whose anniversary, the anniversary of his shahada and martyrdom, was yesterday, the 8th of Rabi'ul Awwal. And I mentioned something about his life and his legacy last night, and I will continue tonight. First of all, his name is Al-Askari, which is attributed to a neighborhood in Samarra. That neighborhood was named Al-Askar, because Samarra, as I mentioned last night, it was a military camp. It was established as a military camp for the Abbasid Caliphate in Baghdad. The caliphs in Baghdad were so corrupt, people of Baghdad, not just Baghdad, other cities, they revolted against them. So they had to move to the north, and they built the city of Surra Marra'a, Samarra, which was a Christian village at that time. It had some Christian people living there. And they moved their capital for almost 50 years. Half a century it was moved from Baghdad to Samarra, and then they came back to Baghdad. To subdue the emotions of the people. People were against the Abbasiyin because of their corrupt financial and moral and social misbehaving and the appropriation of people's wealth and people's destiny. So they built Samarra during the time of Al-Mutawakkil. Mutawakkil was probably the most brutal among the Abbasid caliphs. Many of them were, all of them were brutals, but he was the worst among them. In his grudge and hate against Ahlul Bayt, Mutawakkil al-Abbasi was similar to Yazid ibn Muawiyah. And he was the one who demolished the grave of Imam Hussein 7 times. 7 times. During his reign, he would come, they built a house, a dome, above the grave of Imam Hussein in Karbala, and he comes and destroys it. 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 7 times during his time. During his reign, to stop the visitors who come and visit and pay tribute. So he moved to that area, to Samarra, he took the capital, and also at the same time he ordered Al-Imam Al-Hadi, the father of Al-Imam Al-Askari, the 10th Imam, Imam Ali Al-Hadi alayhi salatu wassalam, the 10th Imam of the school of Ahlul Bayt, to come from Medina and live in Samarra, so to be under the control and the surveillance of the Abbasid government. At that time, his son Imam Al-Hasan Al-Askari, of course, joined his father. He was a child at that time. And they moved from Medina to Samarra, and they were both imprisoned. Imam Al-Askari, Imam Al-Hadi, died of poison, and then he was followed in his imamah by his son, Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Askari alayhi salam, for only 6 years, no more than 6 years. And then again, Imam Al-Hasan Al-Askari died by the poison given to him by Al-Mu'tamid Al-Abbasi in the year 260 Hijri, 260 Hijri in Samarra. And then his son, Al-Imam Muhammad Al-Mahdi, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajah, he succeeded his father, Al-Imam Al-Askari, like today. It was the beginning of his imamah on the 9th of Rabi'ul Awwal, year 260 in the city of Samarra. Some of the wisdom of our Imam, Al-Imam Al-Askari, who died only, as I mentioned, at the age of 28. And that tells you a lot about the suffering of Ahlul Bayt, their Imams, their leaders, at the hands of their enemies. His father, Imam Al-Hadi, died at the age of 40. This was the life span for our Imams. Imam Al-Hasan Al-Askari, I would mention two hadiths narrated by him. Hadith number one. فأما من كان من الفقهاء صائنا لنفسه حافظا لدينه مخالفا لهواه مطيعا لأمر مولاه فعلى الناس أن يقلدوه. He said, who is going to be your marja, your religious leader, after the beginning of the occultation, عصر الغيبة, the reign of the occultation, where you cannot find the infallible imam that is appointed by God, who is going to be your reference in religion? Who should you follow? Do you see people how confused they are nowadays? Anyone who appoints himself to be caliph, they do bay'ah to him, even if he's Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Even if he's a mass murderer, a thug, like Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who can attract hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Muslim young people, they do bay'ah to him. They take him as a caliph, meaning that they say to him, we believe that you are successor to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because people are confused. People are lost. They lost when you conceal the truth from people, you don't tell them about the truth. Who is the real imam? Who is the real caliph? Then people go after the wrong person. They follow the wrong person. And this is the case, not just now. This is the case after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the imam says, in the period of occultation, Ahdul Ghaiba, Asrul Ghaiba, when there is no access to the imam, you don't see the imam, then your leader should have these five qualities. Quality number one, أَمَّا مَنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْفُقَهَاءِ. He should be a jurist, faqih. He is well-versed in Islam. Not any person is qualified to be a religious leader or imam if he does not study Islam very well. Or if he studied Islam, you know, crash courses, 1 or 2 years or 1 month and 2 months, and then he declares himself, I am the caliph now. I am the allama. I am the most knowledgeable. He has to be faqih. Real faqih, genuine jurist and faqih. So this is a quality number one, faqih. Number two, sa'inan linafsih. Sa'in, protector, he protects his soul from corruption. The soul is corrupted, easily corrupted. Our soul, especially in this dunya, where we have lots of temptations in this dunya, material temptations, we get easily corrupted. Easily corrupted. It's very difficult to maintain your soul from being contaminated. It's not easy. This is the most difficult task, to maintain your soul healthy and corrupted and contaminated. فَأَمَّا مَنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْفُقَهَاءِ صَائِنًا لِنَفْسِهِ. Second, حَافِظًا لِدِينِهِ. Saving his faith. Again, to save your faith is not easy. Allah is testing us every day, every night, every hour, every morning. We are tested in our faith. We are أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Fitna means test. We put them to test. And the test is not just every 6 months. Neither every month, it's every day, it's every hour. We have been tested every hour. So that person who passes the test, he can keep his faith, his iman safe. حافظاً لدينه. Number three, مخالفاً لهواه. Suppressing his desire. Today what controls most people is not reason, but desire, hawa. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Some people, they don't worship God. They worship their own desire, their own lust, their own ego. So he has to be suppressing, crashing. Every minute we have to crush and destroy our desire. Otherwise, the desire is going to knock us down. Otherwise, the desire is going to overrun us. Overrun us. We have to keep reason strong. We have to keep faith strong. Some people say, why we pray five times a day? One time is enough. No, one time is not enough. We need to be connected more than five times a day. Always. Whenever we get away from God, the desire is going to overcome us. So, مُخَالِفًا لِهَوَاهُ. مُخَالِفًا لِهَوَاهُ. This is not easy. It's not easy to suppress your desire. Desire speaks to us, commands us, intimidates us every minute. Every minute. Desire tells us to do bad things, whispers in our ears. So we have to have strong faith. When you have a strong faith, you can defend yourself. It's just like food. When you eat healthy, then the virus cannot attack you easily. But when your food is not healthy, is not good, you don't lead a healthy life, then you're going to be a victim, easy victim for the bacteria, for the virus. They're going to attack you and destroy your health. Same thing with the spiritual health. If we have good, religious, moral, healthy life, we keep telling ourselves, I am a guest here. I'm not here to stay. I'm not here just to work for this dunya. I have to build my akhirah. Some of my focus, some of my attention has to be for the akhirah. If we keep say this to ourselves every hour, then we are not going to fall victim to our desires. مُخَالِفًا لِهَوَاهُ. Number five, this is the fifth quality. مُطِيعًا لِأَمْرِ مَوْلَاهُ. Submissive to the commands of his Lord. We have to submit. Once we submit to God, and we do not argue with God, we do not defy God, we do what God wants us to do, not what desire wants us to do. We do what God wants me to do, not what public wants me to do. Sometimes there is divergence between God and public. God says something, public says something else. Not necessarily everything public say to you, even the majority. Even if the majority of the people sometimes say things to you, it could be not right. God says to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَوْ تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Oh Muhammad, if you listen and obey and try to make happy the majority of the people of earth, they're going to divert you from the course of God. يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Who said always majority is right? No, not necessarily. Sometimes they are right, and many times majority is wrong. We saw this in the United States of America just a few weeks ago. We saw this, that the majority, though not majority, not the popular vote, no, I take it back, you know. So it's not always majority is right. God is always right. God is the real majority. The real majority is God, what God says, because God is not biased. God is not sexist. God does not favor one against others. God is the God of wisdom and mercy and equality and justice for all. So we have to listen to God. مُطِيعًا لِأَمْرِ مَوْلَاهُ. If you find these five qualities, number one, فَقِيه. Number two, صَائِنًا لِنَفْسِهِ, protecting his soul. Number three, حَافِظًا لِدِينِهِ, saving his faith, putting his faith number one. Number four, مُخَالِفًا لِهَوَاهُ, suppressing his passion and his desire and his ego, suppressing it. Number five, submissive to his Lord. مُطِيعًا لِأَمْرِ مَوْلَاهُ. Then the people should follow that person and listen to that person. That person is the rightful representative of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's the rightful representative of the caliphs and the imams who are the successors to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين، وعلى البضعة الطاهرة ابنة نبيك فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين، وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام، وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي، عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا، صدق الله العلي العظيم. Places of worship are for God only. So do not call upon and do not worship others alongside God. فَلَا تَدْعُوا. The masjid, place of worship, محل السجود. Masjid is called masjid because it's the place, the center of prostration. You put your forehead on the ground as a gesture of submission to God. These places belong to God only. So do not worship other than God in these places. Not just these places, but you know, everywhere when we go, we should not worship other than God. Do not bring partners with God. Submit yourself only to God. لن ندعو. دعوة. Not, some people say do not name them. No, you can name the masjid. Masjid of Fulan. You can name it. Here, فَلَا تَدْعُوا does not mean do not name. It means do not worship. How do we know that? We know it from this book. Al-Quran يفسر بعضه بعضا. We find the translation of the book in the same book, in other chapters. In Surah Al-Kahf, Allah says, لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا. لَن نَدْعُوَ, the people of cave, the young ones, they said we do not worship alongside with God any other God. Surah Al-Mu'minun, وَمَن يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. Whoever worships, يَدْعُ means worship. In Surah Al-An'am, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Do not curse. Do not slander those who worship idols beside God. Once you do that, they're going to curse and slander your Lord. This is the adab that we learn from the Holy Quran, from our Lord, from our Prophet, that we do not slander others. If you slander them, they're going to fight back and slander your Lord. So dua means ibadah here in this context. In this particular context, it means ibadah. Do not worship. Therefore, the masajid, they belong to God. And I have 5 points to mention about masajid and the etiquettes that we have to embrace in the masjid. Number one, the masjid and the mosque has to be open for all. Muslims from all madahib, they should never be discriminated against. They come, they are welcomed. All madahib, all schools of thought. And non-Muslims too, if they decide to visit the mosque, they should be welcomed. They should be accepted and admitted And they should find it to be a friendly atmosphere, a welcoming atmosphere for all people. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ This is God's property. This is not certain persons or group or dynasty's property. It belongs to God. And God says, my house is open for all, for those who believe in me and for those who do not believe in me. Let them come to my house. Number two, the masjid should not belong to a specific racial or ethnic group or nationality. This is only for Iraqis, this is for Syrians, this one for Sudanese, this one for a black American, this one for white American, this one for Vietnamese American, this is... No. The masjid should be open for all nationalities. God is the Lord of all. And God does not favor one nationality against the others. And therefore, because it belongs to all, the language spoken in the masjid has to be a common language, not a specific language. I think it's not good to dedicate a masjid to speak Farsi or Urdu or Arabic or Swahili. The masjid has to speak the language of the land. Where do we live? Do we live in France? Then the speech is in French. If you live in Madrid, then the speech has to be in Spanish. If you live in America, then the speech has to be in English, in the common language. You have to unify people. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ The language that has to be spoken. Now sometimes there is a specific majlis session, memorial service, someone specific wants specific language, it's okay. But in general, the majority of the programs has to be in the language of the land. Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ When we send a messenger to any corner of the world, he speaks the language of the people. One of the reasons Islam is not successful in America. In my opinion, it's not successful. We should do more. Because we don't speak the language of the land. We don't attract people to Islam. So it should not be for a specific group or only for the elderly. Sometimes I go to certain masajid, I see people 60 years and up. Only for the elderly. This is not a senior center. You know? Yes, seniors are welcome, the young ones. We have to welcome all. Children, young, youth, middle-aged, seniors, elderly, Arabs, non-Arabs, even religious, non-religious. If someone is not very religious, has to be welcomed in the masjid. For all races, the beauty of Islam is when you look at the group, they represent all ethnicities, all languages, all races, all social classes. The rich once a week sits next to someone who's not rich like him. This is good. They learn from each other. Because when the masjid, you confine it to one language, Farsi language, Arabic language, Urdu language only, you are going to lose a huge audience. You are going to deprive many people from learning Islam. And the best place for people to learn Islam is the masjid. They don't go to the cafe. They don't go to the beach to learn about Islam. This is the only place to learn about the genuine Islam is when they come to the masjid. So when you insist that let them speak only Farsi, this is egoism. This is not good. You want to make yourself happy by making many others unhappy. This is not good. We have to transcend. We have to have a bigger heart and bigger mind to transcend these boundaries, to open the masjid for the biggest number of people. Number three, the experience of the people when they come to the masjid has to be pleasant and attractive. Sometimes we put off the young generation. We put them off. They run away. They get alienated. Why? I've spoken to many young generation. Why don't you come to the masjid? He says, listen, the masjid is not a youth-friendly environment. We are not welcomed. We don't feel welcome. The elderly, they do not consider us. They don't take care of us. They don't respect us. This is not right. This is not right. Each and every person has to be welcomed, no matter how old is he or she, how they look. In certain massages, if you don't have perfect hijab, you are not welcome. This is not right too. We live in America. We have all different people. Some people, they have a problem, issue with hijab. They are struggling with this issue. Let's help them. Let's not put them off. Let's not make them hate the hijab even more and more and more. Masjid like a hospital. Have you seen a hospital that says, I accept only this patient, but that patient I don't accept? They can't discriminate. And the masjid should not discriminate. All people are welcomed. Even those who do not believe in God, if they come to the masjid, we tell them, come here. You are welcome. Come and learn. It's okay to come. The house of God has a biggest heart. He would welcome you. If we keep putting people off, repelling them, one day you will find only the imam by himself, no ma'mumi. He looks behind him, nobody. Only the imam standing in the mihrab. This is what God said to Prophet Muhammad. God said to him, Ya Muhammad, if you don't have big heart, if you don't embrace them, if you don't forgive them, if you don't understand them, if you have no tolerance, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. You would never be able to attract a single person. So you have to have bigger heart. You have to have bigger understanding. Sometimes, maybe I go to a masjid, I don't benefit from that, but my children are benefiting. So I go for their sake, not my sake. So not necessarily that you yourself benefit. Look at the general welfare of the community, not you yourself. Don't put yourself before your community. Put the community before yourself. I remember a lady came to me, she's still living. She changed her madhab from one school of thought into another. I said, why? Did you read a book? She said, no, not because of a book. I went to the masjid one day with my two, three of my friends. We were about to pray. Suddenly a group of women, they attacked us. They said, no, you are women, you have to go back at the very back of the masjid. This is not your place. I said, what's wrong? Nobody is here. She said, no, that is the women's section. I said to her, did God divide the masjid into men and women section? Now there is nobody here. Let me worship. She said, no, they pushed us back. She changed her madhab. She left that school. Because that school is miserable. School that discriminate and consider women to be fifth class citizen is not a good school of thought. Believe me. We have to welcome people. We have to change our attitude. We have to have a bigger understanding. When they come to the masjid, they have to enjoy the environment. Sometimes I go to certain churches, I enjoy my experience. I say, I wish this was masjid here. Why our masajid is not like here? Not like this one. Point number four. Masjids have rules and regulations, and we have to adhere to them. We have to respect them. Number one rules of the masjid is nadafa. The masjid is, which is not a clean, is not a masjid. It's a social club. We don't take care of the nadafa. I want everybody to listen. We do not take care of the nadafa. We don't clean our masajid. Our masajid are not as clean as synagogues and churches. Go and see for yourself. You will see this is a fact. So we have to increase our nadafa, the maintenance of the masjid. It's a pity that my house is more attractive and cleaner than the masjid. We take care of our properties, our homes. But when it comes to the masjid, nobody takes care of that. This is a pity. And then the masjid is a place where we maintain silence. At the time of the prayers, at the time of lecture, we have to teach our children. Sometimes the speaker cannot speak because children are there turning the place into a playground. Sometimes turning it into a boxing ring with each other. This is not a masjid. We, the fathers and the mothers, we have a responsibility to teach our children. I am taking you to the masjid to pray, to listen, to learn, to respect the place. They know, they have to know that this is a holy place. This is a holy place. Yes, there should be playground for them. They should have enough time to play and have fun. But masjid, it's a place where they learn, where they intellectually and spiritually grow. They need to be learn forgiveness in the masjid, not to fight with each other. They need to learn kindness in the masjid, not to put themselves before others. This is our responsibility. We are not doing enough. Muslim parents are not doing enough to teach their children in this country. They are not doing enough. We don't teach them at home. We don't teach them how to respect masjid. And last but not least, Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. The masjid belongs to you. If you are married, belongs to your wife. If you have children, belongs to your children. You have to maintain it. You have to pay for it. You have to come and ask. In some churches, they don't ask them to give money. Donors, they go themselves. They give the money and they feel happy. Once we reach that stage, we become good Muslims. And Islam becomes strong in this country. And someone like Donald Trump would not be able to attack Islam. Donald Trump is attacking Islam because Islam is weak. Why doesn't he attack Judaism? Did you hear him one day speaks bad about Judaism? He didn't. Because Judaism is strong in this country. It's strong. People are helping their faith, their religion. Their synagogues are powerful. So once you become powerful, and once you respect yourself, your own self, people are going to respect you. If we have no respect for our masajid, if we have no we do not feel responsible to maintain the masjid, to pay for it, to build it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man bana masjidan, bana lahu Allah ta'ala baytan fil jannah." If you want God to build a house for you, God is the builder and the designer and the engineer of your house. Build someone. We're going to die and all of us have properties. Who's going to take over these properties? Your children. And sometimes your children, believe me, they are not going to remember you in Fatiha. Believe me. Trust me on this issue. Many of you, I know you and I know your families. Your children are not even going to remember you in single Fatiha. And you are leaving behind millions of dollars. At least leave something for your akhirah, for yourself. You need it yourself. Don't just leave for your wife, for your son and daughter. Say, this is my portion. This is thulth, one third of my inheritance for me. I need to build a masjid. I need it for me. I need to save myself tomorrow. Work for yourself too. Don't just think of your children. Think of yourself. What will happen to you in the grave? How many of your children is going to come to the cemetery and say, oh, daddy is here. I feel sorry for him. Mommy is here. I feel sorry for her. Sometimes I go to funerals. Children, they don't take time off to come to the funerals of their parents because he's busy. He's in law school, he's in medical school, he cannot leave his finals, he has classes, he doesn't go to his parents' funeral, let alone remembering them after death. Think about yourself. You are the poor person. You need someone to help you, not your children. Your children, they can take care of themselves. You need to build for your akhirah. And if you don't build for your akhirah, your children are not going to build that for you. Believe me. Believe me. Allahumma akhtar lil mu'minina wal mu'minat. Wal muslimina wal muslimat. Al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Tabi'in lahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat. Today we have the Muslim-Jewish dialogue at University Synagogue. The address is not far from here. 3400-3400 Michelson in Irvine at 8 p.m. sharp. I'm going to be there with Rabbi Arnold Rockless. We're going to recite dua in Hebrew and in the Islamic prayers, and also we're going to have a dialogue. So those of you who are interested to join, you are welcome, and please be there on time. On time, meaning try to be there before 8 p.m. inshallah. And next Saturday we are celebrating the anniversary of the birth of the greatest human being in this universe, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, we're going to receive again another honorable man here, the Bishop of Orange County. I mentioned this last night. Usually, the bishop himself does not go to other places to give speeches. He speaks at his own parish, at his own church. But this time he decided, the Honorable Bishop Van, the Bishop of Orange County, to visit your center, to pay tribute to you and to thank you and to say to you, the Muslims here, specifically the Shia Muslims in America, thanks to you and to your efforts and to your openness and to your tolerance. You are under attack, but you are still strong. This is what he wants to tell you. So he would come, inshallah, on the 17th. We begin the program at 7 p.m. without Salat, because Salat is at 5 p.m. So please do your Salat at home, and we will begin the program here at 7. And the bishop is going to be here. We're going to have intra-faith and interfaith. Intra-faith, it means between Shias and Sunnis. So we are inviting a Sunni imam, Imam Jihad Safir, one of the good imams, African-American imams, who is doing a lot in South Central. He's going to be here. And also Bishop Van, the Catholic Bishop of Orange County, inshallah. And as I mentioned, we're going to visit the shrine of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, and the shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen. We're going to have a visit to Iraq and Imam al-Ridha in Mashhad in April. And Sister Fariba, who is in charge of registration, she's here. So if you want to join me in this trip, please register your name with her today. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات اللهم وحد كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. Excuse me.